Hello and welcome to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. In today's program, we have something rather special for you, an interview with the wonderful band Dálava. They're based in Canada, but perform extremely old and obscure Moravian folk songs. Many musical projects have noteworthy origin stories, but Dálava's is truly one of a kind. Julia Ulehla and her musical and life partner Aram Bayakian began performing ancient Moravian folk songs, which they'd never heard, after happening upon them in a book named Živá píseň, or Living Song. It had been compiled in the early 20th century by the former's great-grandfather, Vladimir Ulehla, a remarkable polymath. Dálava are based in Canada, but have a very international background. Ulehla, whose father left Czechoslovakia in 1968, spent time with a song-focused theatre company in Italy after training as an opera singer at the famous Eastman School of Music in New York State. Guitarist Bayakian, whose background is Armenian, has played with top avant-garde musicians such as Mark Rebo and John Zorn and toured with Lou Reed and Diana Krall. Dálava's most recent LP is the powerful 2017 release, The Book of Transfigurations, which followed a first collection released under Bayakian's name. The pair, who regularly spend time here in the summer months, recently did a short tour of the Czech Republic. And when we caught up in Prague, Ulehla told me a little bit about her great-grandfather.
So Vladimir, he was primarily a biologist by trade, but really a Renaissance man. He, I think, was pretty important for the intellectual life and cultural life in Moravia in the first part of the 20th century. And he was a quite forward-thinking person. He did these beautiful, like, time-lapse photography of plants growing and innovated these techniques. And he also was a great lover of folk songs and started collecting folk songs. He lived in Strážnice in Slovatsko, and started collecting songs when he was 18 from the influence, actually, of Hinek Beam, who was also a folk song collector and a colleague of Leos Janáček's. And so in Živá píseň, in this book that he wrote, you see he dates all of his transcriptions, and some of them are really from when he was 18 years old and move all the way through his life. So it's like you see them until 1947, and it was really just months before he died. He was still collecting songs. And he also made a film, Mizející svět, documenting the disappearing folk life in Velká nad Veličkou, another village in Slovatsko. And he wrote books in biology, in philosophy, philology. Like, he really, his work encompassed many disciplines and domains.
And how did your family come to move to Canada, was it?
My dad, he escaped Czechoslovakia in 1968. And he had a crazy travel. He went, I think, through Holland, and then through Toronto, and was like cleaning toilets in Toronto for a few months, and then was accepted into a physics program at the University of Texas in Houston, where he moved. And I guess they had some family friends who were Czechs there who sponsored him. And my mom is from Texas, and they met and fell in love in French class. And so he's the only one who came. My babichka is here, my cousins are here, my uncle is here, and then half my family is in America.
When you came across these songs, Aram, what was it about them that said to you, we've got to record these or do something with these?
They're really unusual. Like, the melodies have really unusual modes and they're in unusual time signatures, and the phrasing is unusual. Like, there'll be 7-bar phrases or 10-bar phrases. It's not what you typically see in Western music. So it provided like really good I guess, seed to create a musical project with and to explore. When we started, I tried to not listen to how the traditional music is done, because we said it was like almost like we were imagining, what if, you know, it's 1,000 years from now, we find this book and we know how to read the music, and like what we kind of try and imagine what we would do with it. And we did it with these musicians in New York and grew the songs there. Yeah, they're really unusual. And the poems as well. I mean, I think what I really love about them is that they're these little masterpieces that are completely anonymous. And there's a real beauty in that, to know that some of the lyrics are really ingenious and the melodies are ingenious, but that like it was written by someone who we don't know who they are necessarily.
Were there a lot of songs in the collection? I mean, is there more to draw on if you do more albums?
There's so many songs. There's more than 300. And yeah, it feels like the work is not done. I have a feeling that there we will continue working on it. It keeps opening new directions. And we started this collaboration with Petr Mička and his Hornyatska Muzika Ensemble. Also in Vancouver, there's this work there. So it feels like the songs are almost like entering into life in these different ways. And it's also about musical composition and invention and like the like beauty and novelty and like structure and elegance of the melodies. But it's also something else, which is somehow so much almost like existential or it's deeply personal and almost connecting out through like many ways to many people back in time, in the future, horizontally. Like even if you look at the song text, there's like ethical hierarchy of relationships where humans are not the somehow center of the universe, but they're very much in relation to animals and spirits and weather patterns and mountains. And so this whole cosmology, I feel like it's somehow, as we work more and more and more deeply with the songs, it's like it like soaks into our lives in more and more ways.
Telling me earlier you don't have so much Czech, Was it a challenge for you to sing not only in Czech, but in this really kind of old-fashioned, archaic Czech?
You know, it's so many things. In one way, it's a total pleasure because I work with my dad really closely on it. And we spend so much time translating and talking about it and like singing together and discussing it. And so it's been this like beautiful way to be with my dad. And I think even for him, he left when he was 19, and he told me he always hated the traditional music as a kid. He was just like, it's not for me. And so now as a almost 70-year-old man, he's somehow like having this new romance with it in a way. So there's this aspect which is really beautiful. There's also a terrifying aspect because as someone who's like a hybrid Czech, I always feel like I will never be Czech enough. So to sing these songs, which are really like people's personal treasure, at the beginning, I didn't realize how sensitive the cultural property issue was. And it was really undertaken with some kind of naivete, I think, on our part of just like, or you know what, almost like, okay, Vladimir, who are you? And what is this book? And what is this like personal relationship? And then as we do it and it becomes somehow out in the world more or like more of a public thing, you realize that it's like people care a lot about these songs and have really deep relationships to them and strong ideas about where they should be or how they should be or what is important for their perpetuation and their continuation. So that is it's a thorny thing to negotiate.
And has there been some questioning of your right to do these songs?
Yeah. For sure. I've heard people be angry, and I heard like sometimes on Facebook people will make these comments of like, you should learn Czech first, or you should like, I don't know. Yeah. Someone told me I sing like a man, or that there's like gendered behavior that I am violating. Or
but the other thing, I mean, when we were first doing it, my thinking was that the songs are so beautiful and the way Julie sings them is so beautiful. But when we're performing in Canada, people don't know that she's singing and that her accent is, and yet people are still moved by them and affected by them and how she does it. And I think that what I'm starting to see is that also at the beginning, I feel like people here were more talking about your accents and stuff. They're also now moving past that and seeing like, oh, and this is a really important issue, not just for the Czech people but it's for all people of diaspora, because this world is changing. People are moving. What does it mean if a young African immigrant in Italy who's born in Italy and grows up in Italy and is Italian but African, but then wants to go and learn music from Ghana or from, you know, like, what does that mean for that person? What does it mean about identity? Julie and I are both children in the U.S. of immigrant parents, and we're Americans, but we also have this really strong tie. And do we have a right? Is it appropriation in the sense, like, if I were to use African music, that is a different thing. And I think also, especially with Julia's history with her great-grandfather, that he wrote this book, the fact that there's that family relationship really is a moving thing, that she's able to go back and then explore that.
And when you have played here, what has been the reaction?
It's really beautiful to play here. Sometimes, like last night, we played in Trutnov, and people are so warm. Like, we had a big standing ovation at the end, and people were, like, hugging. And sometimes people tell me, like, that they're crying. And I don't know. It's really strong. Maybe because I have that little bit of fear. Like, it's like, is it okay what we're doing? I don't know how you will, like, hold this or receive this. So last night was really beautiful. I think when we first started, I remember we played in Folkové prázdniny. And there was a review of the concert, and someone said, like, oh, for some people it was like the best experience of the whole festival, and for some people it was complete incomprehension. And even the reviewer was like, I didn't know what to say after. So it's really mixed.
But I think people are starting to see it and understand what we're trying to do. And also, I think the important thing is that people, I think, are starting to understand that we also really have a deep respect for the music and for the traditional music, and it's not just we're not just making weird sounds or as like an experiment just to see what will happen. It comes from a love of the songs.
Vita. μάτι βιδάλα τσαρού.
Just out of curiosity, if you didn't listen to the songs before first recording them or performing them or learning them, did you later go back and find Czech versions?
Well, so now I'm doing PhD in ethnomusicology, and so we spend a lot of time here over the summer and try and hear as much traditional music as we can. And yeah, I have a lot of recordings at home that we're listening to.
But a lot of the songs aren't performed, aren't performed anymore. And even some of the songs have words that we've asked every Czech audience and no one knows what the words mean. So that's how old they are, that these words have completely fallen out of use, which is fascinating. Really fascinating that we're singing songs now and the Czech audiences don't know what the words mean.
I think it also points to how there's like different strands of dissemination, so that there's like oral tradition happening and there's this like emplaced tradition in Hornjacko or Dolnjacko and people like learning generation by generation. But in the Czech lands, in Moravia, it seems like textual documentation has been an important source. Since František Sušil, these like early song collectors were transcribing, and that musicians are looking to them. And so it's like you have it through oral transmission, you have it through these songbooks, you have it through recordings, and people are really creatively now, I see this in the Czech Republic, that many musicians are engaging with this tradition and somehow like moving between these different domains.
I was intrigued by your translation of titles. For example, in Czech, the title of one song is Dibi Nya Moja Mamienka Stara, and in English, it's grass.
Yeah, we didn't do a word-for-word translation. Yeah. Somehow in English, like, would that my old mother...
Right, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's true. We made some artistic liberties with the song titles.
Yeah, and also, part of it's also practical that it just wouldn't fit on the iTunes to have that. We wanted to have the Czech and an English title. I don't think there was that many characters. Like, so we had to... But also, like, the song is summed up in that one word as well.
Parsa jano konya.
I don't expect you guys to be total experts on all areas of what I might call world music, but is there something distinctive? Because to my ear, this music sounds quite a bit like other folk musics. Is there something that's distinctive about this Moravian music?
I also perform with this trumpet player, Frank London, and he has a group called the Glasshouse Orchestra, which is, it's Hungarian musicians. And there's a cymbalum player, there's a violinist and vocalist. And at first I was like, oh, cymbalum, it all sounds the same. But now, having spent more time with the Moravian music, I'm able to hear that there are differences between how it's done in Moravia versus how it's done in Hungary. And even one time we were speaking to a bass player, the bass player Jakub from Brno.
From the band Punk.
He was in the band Punk, which is a great group that's kind of doing what we're doing, taking the folk songs and doing new things with them. But he was saying when he plays in the villages, depending on the village, he has to bow his bass differently because there's different feels for how each village plays the songs. So if you do it one way in a different village, it doesn't work. So I think it's a subtle thing. It's like almost like being able to taste the difference between different scotches and in Scotland. Like, you know, to me, they might all taste the same, but if you really know it, there's big differences.
I think there's also something that when we first started coming, so I've been coming since 1983, but we started coming like with Dalva and with our family and spending summers here about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we were at this Colors of Ostrava festival, and they have something called the Crossroads of Czech Music conference that happens concurrently or like right before. And I remember they're thinking very much there about different traditional musics from the Visegrad countries and how in the scope of the global music scene, what is really happening in Moravia, in Slovakia, in Hungary, in Poland. And I remember someone remarking about how Moravian music doesn't export well. Because there's something, I think according to this person, it was like not flashy enough or not like driving enough or not danceable enough. So I've been thinking a lot, like, what is this like characteristic of Moravian folk music? Like, what is it really? And for me, there's something about it that I didn't appreciate in the beginning or couldn't see that I feel like I just start to see now, which is this like tenderness, or it's like really modest and humble and tender and beautiful and full of some kind of longing that's really sincere somehow and almost like powerful in its gentility or in its lack of pompousness that I think is really beautiful about Moravian traditional music. And not to say that that doesn't appear in other world music traditions, but as I go further and further with it, that's what I start to see as its like little core. And I remember we were performing with Petr Mička over the summer in Brno. And at one point, it's like, it just like hits you in the heart. And you're like, oh, that's the like thing. That's the essence is this like longing, I don't know, heartbreak or like having grief and joy so much woven together that I just love so much about these songs.
Yeah, for me, that experience, it was like I felt like I was with John Coltrane on the stage in the Village Vanguard. It was like to have all those guys singing at the same time. They were really, 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 really wonderful.
We've been listening to Aram Bayakian and Julia Ulehla from the excellent band Dalava, whose album The Book of Transfigurations I can heartily recommend. We'll leave you now with a song from that LP. This is Tsosta si mamičko za dům stajvat dali, or in English, Iron Bars, Iron Luck. Thanks very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague. From me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at the station, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Zostaw si mamiczkę za Zatykate, železnice.